Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here this morning. And let me start off by asking a question. How many of you have ever been on a cruise ship and gone cruising? A few. Actually, I was quite surprised. I thought there'd be a lot more than that. But if you haven't been on one, you should probably try it at least once in your lifetime. I did that for our honeymoon. We actually ended up on a fairly small cruise ship. We went in through a storm. I got sicker than anything. And most of my time was spent over the porcelain thing that we got sick in. So, you know, it wasn't a lot of fun. I'm still thinking now, it's been 26 years ago, I might try it again at some point. A little bit bigger ship, maybe like this. Like, this is the Carnival Mardi Gras. It's the largest ship in the world that currently, that they change every year. But this is, that looks like that wouldn't do much in a storm. That looks like I could probably be all right with that one. The thing I love about cruising that I enjoyed was the fact that everything's done for you, isn't it? All you have to do is show up to the fun. You can show up and have a game. You can show up to the pool. Everything's a party. It's wonderful. And the best part is that you get served. You get served. You know, as a parent, we're so busy serving our kids and everything else, but rarely do people come up and say, well, would you like a cup of coffee? Or here's your breakfast, or here's your snack, or here's this, and everything's included, so you're not flipping out money. It's actually quite fun. I could get used to that. I could get used to being served like that. But when we come to church, we need to have, sometimes we come with somewhat of a similar attitude sometimes, I think. I know I have as well. Sometimes I just come and it's a little harder for me as a pastor, but sometimes I just want to come and sit and not do anything. But it's not something that happens very often. But for church, one of the things we've been talking about is about serving and serving, the need to serve, and that we need to serve one another. It's part of our discipleship rhythm is serving. And so here we're looking at this morning the idea of when it's talked about called to serve, what does that look like? So Pastor Brent spent some great time last week talking about what it means to be called to serve. And the idea here is that we're called within the grace and the freedom that Jesus gives us to then live that out each and every day, not to be self-consumed, but to be others-focused, to be focusing on others, those around us. Galatians 5:3 was the verse that was used. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly and in love." That's a pretty compelling verse, isn't it? It tells us that if we recognize what Jesus has done for us, and we recognize the freedom that Jesus has given to us, it's not for our own self-indulgence. It's not for us to be able to use how we want, but we're to use that then to go and to serve one another. Clearly, there is a call on us as followers of Christ to serve. The great thing about God, though, is that he doesn't just give you that call, he then equips you for the call. And so that's what we want to look at this morning, is that yes, we're called to serve, but really, God equips us to serve. God equips us. God empowers all believers and followers of Christ with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit serves many functions. Okay, it's a comforter, he's a counselor, he empowers us, gives us strength to face some of the difficult challenges coming our way. But one of the other functions that the Holy Spirit plays is like a gift giver. The Holy Spirit loves to give gifts, and then part of those gifts enable us to serve. And that's what we talk about as spiritual gifts. If you ever heard that term, spiritual gifts, that's what we're talking about. The first thing we need to realize is that this Holy Spirit equips us through grace gifts. And the term grace there is charismata. It means, or charis gift, means grace gift. It's not something that we've earned. It's not something that we buy. It's not something that we can even steal or have, even if it's not ours. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us as in his grace for us to serve. This morning, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit equips believers and how as a church we can reach greater maturity and impact moving forward. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read most of that chapter. And as we do, we're going to see some things that are going to help us understand what spiritual gifts are and how we can use them, some of the cautions and some of the awareness of that. But let's look at this passage together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read first off verses 1 to 7. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we may not understand, but it's true. In Corinth, there was a real problem that was happening here. The very thing that is to come and build for the common good and build unity and harmony and in humility was actually tearing the church apart. People were exercising their gifts, but they weren't doing it appropriately. And so Paul needed to help them understand what this was. So even at the beginning there, we talk about how sometimes the Holy Spirit was being blamed for certain things, accused of certain things, that the Holy Spirit made me do it, when in actual fact, it wasn't that way at all. The Holy Spirit will only testify to Christ and to his work in our lives and empower us to do that. And so as we look at these passages, the very first thing we realize is that there's a variety of gifts given for a variety of service. There's so many things that God wants to do in and through our church and in and through other evangelical churches, and he needs everybody's involvement in that. And so there's a variety of gifts that are given. In four places in the New Testament, there's a specific listing of gifts that are given. Some lists are longer than others, and some are even listed in the Old Testament as well. But here we know that there's a variety of gifts given, and maybe those lists are not even complete in and of themselves. They're more representative, and there might be others as well. But there's lots of debate on that. And that although there are different kinds of gifts, all are given by the same Spirit. And the great thing that we need to realize in this is that the Holy Spirit knows what the Holy Spirit is doing. And our job is to be in obedience to the Holy Spirit always. Sometimes if you've had that sense where maybe you're doing something that's just not right, do you ever have that feeling in your gut going, this doesn't feel right? Ever have that? As a believer, I believe the Holy Spirit does that in our lives to just warn us. This is not a good road. You don't want to do this. And yet at other times when we're doing something, the Holy Spirit just it fills us with his presence and power, and we know when we're doing something and the Holy Spirit is there with us because we can sense it and we can feel it. Well, here, the function of the Spirit is to bring all of this together and to recognize we all need to work together in this because it is the same Spirit at work in all of us in all these gifts. It's a function of cooperation and of unity. Cooperation and unity. As a church, we work together. We work in unity, and we work as one as we work towards the vision that God has given to us as a church. The second understanding here is found in verse 7. And the idea here is that now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, sometimes we might look at things and say, you know what, I like this and it helps me, it builds me up. The spiritual gift that we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12 is not for ourselves. It's not to build us up. It's to build others up. The only thing that happens when we use a gift and we build others up and we build up the body of Christ, we feel purposeful. We feel like God is using us. And in that sense, we get built up. But the use of the gifts are really for each other, not for ourselves. As we go into 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 14, we see a little bit more about what Paul is challenging us here. In verse 8, he says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. Verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You know, there's a couple things that we really get out of that. And the key point here is that we all have a part to play. Each one of us has a part to play. And so we can't sit here thinking, oh yeah, this message is for the person sitting next to me, when in actual fact, it's for each one of us as believers and those of us that are followers of Christ. Each one of us has a part to play and a very significant part. Now, I believe our church has a very unique DNA. And as each one of us has a unique DNA, I believe our church does as well. Now, what is different from our church, from another evangelical church down the street, from another evangelical church across the town, or from another evangelical church in another part of the province? Well, there's some similarities. One, we probably will have services where we come and worship God. We will sing. We will have time, we'll pray together. We'll also have same ministries. There will be ministry for children. There will be ministries for youth. There will be ministries for seniors. Sometimes we'll have ministries that are for the community as well. So there's a lot of similarities. But I really believe there are also some very unique characteristics for each church. And the reason why I believe that is because you're here. I'm here. And each one of us has a unique, God created us uniquely. We all have different gift sets and different abilities and different ways that God can work in and through us. And so our church has a very unique DNA. The challenge that we have is that our DNA is somewhat muted when only half of the church is serving. Or when only, you know, the old saying is that 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. I don't think that's true here. But I do think there's a lot more people serving here than that adage. But in a lot of churches, that's true. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. But the reality for us is that the DNA that we have makes us very unique. Now, for instance, we have, one of three missions trips going out, or four missions trips going out this year. There's a lot of churches that send teams out. There's a lot that don't. But I don't know of too many that send four out in 1 year. Two to Mexico, one to Colombia that's going out tomorrow, and one to Haiti that's going out in the fall. That's unique for us. That's unique in the sense that God has drawn in people into our church that's really important. And as a staff, we really make that important because we think that's part of our discipleship journey. And it's so important to help us grow and to help us experience God in unique ways. I don't think that as we look at ministries such as the Thrive Ministry, where ministry is to families that have kids that have special needs, I don't know of any other church that has that I'm aware of. And I know there are some, but I'm not aware of any. That's very unique for us as a church. Understand that most churches, as kids that come with special needs come in and they have unique needs, most churches can't meet those needs because they don't got the team to pull it together. And so as a result, they say, you know what, we actually can't have you here, or you need to come and sit with your child. And it makes it really hard. And lots of times churches will just say, yeah, you actually can't come unless you sit with your own child. And then it's like, why do I even bother? But here, God's raised up people to actually meet that need and use abilities and to train up people to actually do that. Another ministry that's unique for us is a funeral ministry. Now, funerals happen all the time in churches, don't they? Funerals happen in churches. It's one of the ways that we've helped the community. But in this church, it's a little bit different. We've taken it one step further, or maybe 10 steps further, where we actually provide free funeral services so that when families come in, whether they attend our church or not, they don't pay anything for funerals here. So the food is free, the room rentals are free, the pastor is free, all of that. There's no charge in any of that. And we do that because we think it's important to meet the community needs out there, and it's something that we can draw in and care for people so that when they come in and they have no idea what to do, they don't know where to go, we are able to say, yeah, we do this all the time. Let's help you. Let's walk that journey with you. And I can promise you that there is no other church like this church in all of Langley that has one thing that's very unique. In fact, I'd even go as far as to say, I don't think that it's anywhere in BC that has something as unique as this. In fact, I probably would say all over Canada, maybe even the world, that I don't know of any other church that has a pastor of death like we do here. And for those of you that are looking, like, what is he talking about? If you were to come up to my office and you were to look at my nameplate, it would have my name, and underneath it says Pastor of Death. Because that's one of the things that as I come alongside families that God has gifted me in is just to be able to walk the journey of grief when someone has lost someone. And I haven't experienced an awful lot of death or grief in my life. I lost both of my parents when I was in my 30s. It's a little young, but you know what? For the most part, I haven't experienced that. But the one thing I have is there's some real compassion for me to just walk alongside because I see it as such an opportunity to share the love of Christ. And as I walk along them and as I share with them, I'm able to come alongside and speak life into the situation that's really dark and really hard. We're able to help them journey through that and say, it's okay, you're going to get through this. And it's okay to grieve because you know what? That's natural. And that's the way God designed you. And then there's times where I don't even know the person that's passed away, but God has given me an ability in communicating with families that I'm able to draw out the information and share through a message. And people like, it's like you knew them. How do you do that? That's the Holy Spirit. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and I wouldn't miss that for anything. God gives me that, and I love that because it gives me an opportunity to meet people where they're at. You see, there's a uniqueness about our DNA, and we want to capitalize on that, and we want to maximize that because I think God's got some great, I know God's got great things in store for us as a church as we minister to the township of Langley and to the Langley proper. In 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 26, let's continue to read through here. It says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This part of the passage tells us a few things. It tells us that no matter what your gift is or gifts are, you belong. You belong, and we need you. It doesn't mean that you can sit there and you have the first part of that passage is that, you know what, I'm not as good as the other person. I'd rather be the head, but I'm not. And so as an arm, I just don't think I'm as important, so I'm just going to disappear. That's not true. We need the arms. And it's also not true that if you're a part and you want the greater part, you know, I'm an arm, but I really want to be the head because that's really the most important. That's where the brain is, and I think that's the most important, and I want that part. And God's going, yeah, but that's not how I created you. In both situations, we belong and we have a specific role because that's what the Holy Spirit has predestined and has ordained for us. The Holy Spirit determines that, not us. And unfortunately, this is one of those passages and one of the things in churches that cause a great amount of division. The very thing that's supposed to bring unity and harmony and humility brings way worse things. It brings disunity, disharmony, and it brings an awful lot of confusion and division within a church. And so it's really important we understand this, that no matter what your gift set is, you belong. Secondly, gifts need to be exercised in grace and humility. If we have a gift, when we have that gift exercised, we must do it with grace and humility, not thinking of ourselves as any better than anyone else and not thinking of ourselves as anything insignificant compared to others. Each one of us has a significant role to play. I hope you hear that. Each one of you, each one of us has a significant role to play here at Southridge. We need each other. Don't ever think that your part is too small or insignificant. Now, when my former church, Burnett Fellowship, we had a lady when I first started there. She was a really sweet lady. But as she got older, one of the things that we noticed is that she felt a little useless. And we were trying to figure out where's the best spot for her to serve. But taking her personality in place and taking what her gift set was, she needed to be a greeter. Because one of the things that she did that was so powerful is she made somebody feel welcome in a very short period of time. And she was a very classy lady, dressed really well, had that the colored hair that back then was more like purple colored, and just classy, so gracious, so wonderful. But the one thing that she really felt like she didn't really make a difference, and we had to tell her that, you know, when we had newcomers classes or newcomers lunches, one of the things that we would do is say, what brought you to the church and what kept you here? Well, and they would share what brought them here, but what kept them here often, they would say, this lady that greeted us at the church. She was so warm, so genuine, and she just made us feel like $1 million and made us feel welcome. What a significant ministry. What an absolute significant ministry. And she did that to the day that she left the church and moved to White Rock. And she did an amazing, amazing job. She would remember names. She would come up and greet you and remember you were there last week. It was powerful. She used her gift and it made a significant difference, even though she didn't feel it was significant. Even though she didn't feel it. So here are some key thoughts that I want to bring up about spiritual gifts in our time here. One is that spiritual gifts are best determined in a couple of ways. How do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, one, start serving. You're going to know really fast what you like and what you don't like, what you're gifted in, what you're not gifted in. Okay, we could send all of you up to SR Kids. Right, I'm going to graduate you all. You're all going to go up to SR Kids, and I think a good chunk of you will come back screaming, right? Because that's not where you belong, and that's not your gift set. But there's a group of people up there right now that love what they do. They absolutely love what they do. Bless them for that. Bless them for that. You know, as a former children's pastor, I knew who loved being there and loved to serve and were just so great at it. And I appreciated them a tremendous amount because they allowed everybody else to do their thing as well, right? But there's also ways that, you know, when you serve, you also know what you're not supposed to do, but you also get a sense, you know what, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed what I did. We have lots of new greeters coming. I hope you notice them as you come in. There's a lot of new people and a lot of new faces greeting, and we're doing that on purpose. We're trying to get new people engaged in our church, and it's a great way to meet people, and there's some that just love it. They just, you know, they have that outgoing personality, they have that bright smile, and they make people feel welcome. That's who we want greeting people at the door, right? Not somebody who's here and not really wanting to be here, doesn't know how to smile, and is too busy on their phone. That's not a good person to do greeting, right? But there are some of you that have that ability to just welcome people with a bright smile and be very interested in them. So we identify our gifts through serving, but we also identify our gifts through community. One of the things we're doing over this next little while is we're sending out a spiritual gifts assessment. We talked about it last week. I hope some of you are doing it, and I hope the rest of you do it this week. The idea is we want to get a sense, and now this assessment is not rocket science, right? It's not a perfect thing that as soon as you get your top three gifts, that's what they are, and you run with them. It's a start. It's a start of a conversation that happens when you then, for those of you that are in community groups, can go into your community group and have an opportunity to have a conversation. And if your community group has been together for quite a while, you will know each other quite well, and in the process of that, they'll be able to affirm some of those things. Oh yeah, that's you. John, that is so you. That is you to a T. I believe that. Or, I've never really seen that about you. I would have thought more of this. But through that conversation and through the discussion, we get to share those things together. So they're best determined in the context of serving and community. And again, the assessments are simply a tool. They are simply a tool to try to understand our gift mix. They are not an exact science, but a starting point for discussion. So I hope you start that part of that discussion this week. Gifts can help you understand where you're to serve. Right, as you have some gifts, it will help you to identify, this might be a good area. If you're not a people person, you probably don't want to be with a whole lot of people, but you like to be probably more behind the scenes. Great. We need lots of help behind the scenes, lots of it. And we need people that are up front and have the people skills as well. So it's not just about spiritual gifts, it's about a lot of things. One, spiritual gifts are one part of it, but your passion. What are you excited about? What gets you up in the morning? What gets you excited about life? When you're doing it, you have it actually feeds into you. You love that. That's your passion. What about your abilities? What about the things that you've honed, the schooling that you've had, the things that you've worked on to develop your skills and abilities? Maybe that's part of it as well. And then your experiences. You know, sometimes we don't spend a lot of time talking about our experiences, but I believe that God doesn't waste hurt and God doesn't waste challenges in our lives. He wants us to be able to work through those things so that we can share those things with other people and learn, share with them the things that we learned along the way. So there's all of these things. There's the gifts, the passions, the abilities, the experiences. They all paint and are all part of the process for us to figure out what our serving profile really ends up being. Spiritual gifts, as was said before, to build up the body of Christ, to make sure that we're all doing our part. Service can be done in areas of gifting, which is great, but sometimes there's service calls that are put out because there's a need, an urgent need, a something very specific. So for instance, in the last little while, we've been saying that our 11 o'clock service nursery here has a real hard time keeping people to help serve. We need people to serve in that. Because if we don't, and we have a visiting family that comes in, and they're trying out Southridge for the first time, and they have a baby, and they head off into the nursery, and there's nobody there, and we've got a closed sign due to lack of volunteers, what is that going to communicate to that family? Are they going to come back? Are they going to feel welcome? Are they going to feel like that they have a part to play here? Probably not. And so sometimes we have needs that are more urgent, and we just need to step up and say, you know what? I can hold a kid, it's not a problem. I can change a diaper, I'm good with that. It's not my gift that I want to serve in on long term, but it is something that I can do. And so sometimes we have service that needs to happen based on urgent needs. And those come up every now and then. I believe to reach our full potential as a church, we're going to need to all be serving. We all must be serving. Because God has a potential for us, and all of us have a part to play in that, because he has a God-sized vision, God-sized purpose for Southridge. I firmly believe that. We're experiencing that over and over again, but we need to understand what part we play in that, that each and every one of us. And I might say to us that some of you are serving in an area you've done a long time, and you're just sort of ho-hum about it. Serving is not supposed to be ho-hum. Serving is supposed to be energizing. It's supposed to be exciting. So if you're not in an area that you're energized and exciting about, maybe we need to see about transitioning you into something else. We're okay with that. In fact, that could cause a lot of chaos here at the church. So be gracious as we transition. Don't go to your leader and tomorrow say, yeah, I quit. Pastor Paul says, I don't have to serve in here anymore. I'm going to go do something else. That will cause a little bit of havoc, and I might not have a job after a while. So we don't want to do that. But we do want to have conversations where we're saying, hey, you know what? I'm not really enjoying this a whole lot anymore. And as that conversation starts, there might be some adjustments that need to be made. There might be some changes that can be brought in. Or we might need to shuffle you off into another area where you're going to be excited about it. That's okay. But serving should be fun. It should be energetic. It should be enjoyable. We will never reach our full potential if, as a church, if we don't have everybody serving in our church family. So at the beginning, I showed some pictures of those cruise ships. Those are pretty nice, right? Let me show you another ship that's probably more realistic of what it should be here. This ship here is a battleship. A battleship is a ship where not one person on that ship has nothing to do. Everybody has something to do. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a task. Everybody has to pitch in where there's extra need because really pulling up the ropes is not something for all of those people, but they do it because it needs to get done. And really, when I look at it, I think, yeah, church is more like a battleship because it helps us to realize we're all going in the right direction, we're all going in the same direction, and there really is a battle going on, isn't there? Because each and every day, there are people that don't know Jesus and they die, and that doesn't work for me. Like, we have got to recognize that there is a time-sensitive part to this. There are people that are dying and they're not hearing about Jesus. Well, we've got something that we need to do about that. And we can do a better job if all of us are serving together to make sure that that takes place. So as we look at this battleship, we see there's hundreds of people on a battleship, probably thousands that get involved that are a part of that. And they're all working toward the common good and they all know their place. When that alarm goes off, they know exactly where they're going, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. And we need to do the same thing. That seems a little drastic to bring that comparison, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. That for us, as we do life together and as we do life as a church, I think there's something that God wants us to see in a much greater way, that as we serve together on a team alongside one another, we actually bring about that harmony, that unity, and that humility that the Holy Spirit wants to bring out in our church. So the reality here is we need you. We want you and we need you. Simply and emphatically, we want you. One and all, we want you because you have something to offer that we need. And secondly, we need you because there's a job for all of us to do, and we need you to be a part of it. And so I hope as you sit here, if you're not overly involved, maybe it's challenging to say, yeah, I'd like to get more involved. But if you're serving regularly here at Southridge, I want to say thank you. I know there are a number of lots of people here that week in, week out, you serve in some form or fashion. And I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. All of us appreciate that. It allows us to come. It allows us to be a part of the church family. It allows us to see God in new and great ways. It allows us to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. So if you give your time and you serve regularly, thank you so much. It makes a significant difference. Now, if you're not serving currently or very casually, may I encourage you, and may I remind you, we need you. We need each and every one of you. Southridge is not a cruise ship where you just get to come and passively sit and let participate. We want you to engage. We want you to be a part of it right to the very core of what we have. That Southridge needs your contribution to assist us in becoming the church that God it needs us to be here in Langley. Don't underestimate your value. Do not underestimate your value. So what's your next step? First one is, and most importantly, just listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not about listening to me. It's not about listening to anyone else. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one that has given the gifts. And we need to determine what those gifts are in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is more than able to want to share that with you. The Holy Spirit's not going to give you gifts and then try to keep it a secret. That's not how he works. But he wants you to experience that fullness. And so I would just ask you to just sit and ponder, what is the Spirit saying to me? Through this time, what is the Spirit saying to me? Maybe he's saying that, you know what, you need to have a heart of servanthood. Maybe we need to recognize, even as Jesus, when we look at Philippians 2, Jesus came, gave up everything that was rightfully his so that he could become a servant to all. And if Jesus does that and we need to follow his example, what do we need to change? Some of us might say, yeah, I'm really busy, Pastor Paul. I get it. I totally get it. I have 5 kids. I know exactly what that's like. And I understand what busy is. But there's something. Even a small part to play on a regular basis could make all the difference in that. And so, you know, one of the things is some of you might be here and this is your first time or first couple times and you're not normally part of a church family, but if somebody invited you to come and you're listening to this message and it's not making a whole lot of sense because it's just something new, let me tell you, as a body of Christ, we are to do life together. God never intended us to do life alone. And maybe you're here and maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel separated from God, and maybe you're struggling with that, and that's why you're here. I would just encourage you. I would implore you, don't leave here without talking with someone. Maybe the person that brought you, or maybe we've got some people in the back that will want to pray. They would love to pray with you. Come and gather with them and just pray. And may this be the very start of what God's going to do in your life to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and fill you and to give you those gifts so that you too can serve and be a part of something far greater. Don't allow the moment to pass you by in the sense that God has a call on your life. Jesus came so that you might have life and have it to the full. He came, he shared his life with people as he was walking this earth, and then he came and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And he died on the cross. But then he came back to life again on the third day so that we might have that power of victory over death. And so if you're in that situation and you're here, that might be the only message you need to hear, and I'd encourage you to talk to somebody before you leave. I'll be up here as well. Would love to chat with you about that. There's a prayer team that will meet after that, after the service. Would love to chat with you. So what is our next steps? Well, we have a button on our website called Next Steps. Take your next step. And on the top, on the right, is the Take Our Online Spiritual Gift Assessment. If you haven't done that yet, I'd encourage you, just do it. It's actually a lot of fun. It takes maybe half an hour max, and it's something that just gives you an opportunity to just to interact with your spiritual gifts. Then what happens is you will get sent an email with all of the results, and then if you're part of a community group, then what you're going to do is take that information into your community group and talk about it within your community group. If you're not, or if you want a longer time to talk about your spiritual gifts, we have a class that happens on March 5th that is here at Southridge that I'm going to lead with Craig. And what we're going to do is walk you through that even into a greater degree. And I just encourage you to come, be a part of it, and we'll have some great conversation as we look through that assessment, because it's only one part. Then we talk about the serving assessment that takes apart your abilities, your personality, all of that stuff, and your experiences. So remember that it's only a tool, but it's something that is a start of a conversation, okay? Once that's done, if you're not part of a community group, I'd encourage you to be a part of a community group. And then it's just a matter of, I need to find a place to serve. And if you want information, then here is serving opportunities that we have at Southridge. The next slide. There it is. Okay, top serving needs. Every now and then we change these top five needs just because something becomes greater need. Here we have Spring Break Day Camp. It's a different color because it's a new one and it's really urgent because spring break's coming up really fast. And God has been leading the outward team that is meeting together on a regular basis to start going into James Hill in a greater way, not just for soccer camp, but also spring break. So we're doing a spring break camp from March 23rd to the 27th. We need your help on that. We're going to do an all-day camp. Some of you are off, are able to help us with that. We'd love your help, because we think that building relationships with that school and with the students there will help us as we then invite them to other things, and especially to soccer camp, where we can get more and more people that aren't churched coming to that. Then you can see there's other things, James Hill Breakfast Program, Kids, SR Kids, Funeral Ministry, Production, lots of different needs there. And then as you scroll below that, what you're going to see is just a whole host of things that we have available. And if you're interested, all you have to do is click on it. Somebody will respond and give you some information. Just because you click on it doesn't mean you signed up for it. So you're just going to get some information, okay? There's an opportunity for us to have a conversation with you. So you don't want to miss that at all. So we're excited about what's coming up here. If you're interested in spring break, the camp there, we'd love for you to chat with us. John, who heads up our SR Kids, and Lauren Enns is heading up that ministry. We'd love for you to chat with them. But if you just click on that link, they'll get back to you on that as well. The other thing is, maybe you go through that list and you think, but Pastor Paul, there's nothing there that interests me. Nothing at all. And I would say to you is, let's have a conversation and see, maybe you're here because God wants something new started. And if that's the case, that's part of that DNA again, right? That's part of that DNA. When I came here, we did 3 funerals. Now I'm here, we do a lot more. That's part of my DNA. It's part of something I think is important. And I think God's going to use that. Well, you might be here and you have some different abilities and different experiences that you want to say, hey, I'd like to share these things. We would love to chat with you, because maybe God's got something else that we need to be starting or doing in our church family in the midst of that. So as we go through this, I know that was a lot of information, like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. But let me encourage you. One, read through that passage again and again and again. Two, if you're serving and you love where you're serving, praise God. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Maybe you're serving and you're not having a lot of fun, then talk to your supervisor. Talk to somebody who's leading that so they can have a conversation. Maybe there's some tweaking that needs to get involved. Maybe it's just a different part of that ministry, or maybe it's a different ministry altogether. Thirdly, maybe there's something that you're not serving you want to try. There's some really easy ministry opportunities like serving coffee or greeting that are really easy to match. And if you're not feeling connected here and you need to meet new people, those are great opportunities for you in that one. But instead of just listening to me carry on, I'm going to pray. And then we've got a video that we want to just share with you of people that serve in a church and why they do that. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our church through the serving of people here at Southridge. And I just pray, God, as we hear from these stories here, that it might spur us on, that as we listen to your Holy Spirit, that you might just continue to speak to us, Father, in a very powerful way. And thank you for your word that instructs us, helps us to become the church that you desire us to be. Lord, may we be obedient, may we be mindful of what you have for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's listen to these videos now.
Hi, my name is Ryan Strelo, and this is my wife, Hannah, and we serve in the coffee ministry. So I myself serve in the coffee ministry because I feel it gives me the opportunity to meet and interact with many new people that I've never met in the church. And I feel that as an introvert, that's something I wouldn't normally do under other circumstances. So I really feel like I'm able to bless people with the coffee and get to meet them and get to know them at the same time.
And for me, personally, I really like serving coffee on Sunday mornings. A lot of people come up to me and say, oh, thank you, like, your job is the most important because I really needed that cup of coffee, and it makes me smile, and it's pretty cool to meet a lot of people.
Hi, my name is Anna Mia, and I serve here at SR Kids at the Welcome Desk. I serve here because I am able to give a little bit of my time back to the church and the community. Jesus does so much for me every day of my life, and this is time that I can give to serve him.
Hi, my name is Eileen, and I just started volunteering at Southridge, joined the greeting team, and I wanted to join the greeting team just because it's a good place to reach out and connect with people. And I want to get out a deeper sense of community by reaching out to those in the community, and I feel like I have a gifting in making people feel welcome.
My name is Elizabeth Lemister, and I serve in SR Kids. I came to Southridge about 3.5 years ago and started serving in SR Kids about a year ago. What initially brought me to SR Kids was soccer camp. And soccer camp filled my heart so much, and I just wanted to continue moving forward. So I serve the grade 5 girls, and they never cease to amaze me with their beautiful hearts and their beautiful minds and their love for God. And when I took my spiritual gifts assessment, I wanted to see kind of where I was at in my serving and in my giftings. And I got faith, intercession, and creativity. So it was not really a surprise. I was already kind of on the right track, and I just noticed my heart cry to God was to be a powerful prayer warrior and to have a childlike faith and to reach out to others with just this newfound creativity while respecting the old. And in SR Kids, I'm able to use those gifts, and I'm learning so much from them, and I'm happy to be an SR Kids.
Hey, I'm Colson. I'm one of the young adults here at Southridge. A few areas that I serve in are Sunday morning worship, youth worship, and small group leading there, and I lead the young adults here at Southridge. Some reasons why I serve in those areas is because I feel a call from God through the gifts that He's given me to serve the church and be a part of building the church body. With serving with young adults and leading that group, I get to come alongside some of my greatest friends and journey the walk towards a Christ-like life with them. And it's so cool to be able to be in a leadership spot there, but also be able to be in such a cool like peer spot with them as well. A reason why I love serving on Sunday mornings is because I get to help the team and be on a team where we usher the people of God into worship to Him. I would encourage you to press into the gifts that God's going to be calling you into and to be a part of building up the church body and giving glory to Christ through your gifts within the church and also outside of the church. Take those into your communities, into your workplaces, into your schools, and really see how God can use those gifts that He's given you to serve people across the board, whether it's in church or outside of church. God bless you.